Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz, and it's going to be a good pod. Because Bob had a good streetcar ride over here today. That's always a good sign.
It was two streetcars, but the second one came all the way here.
That is remarkable.
I'm just flipping through my notebook, Matt, because I wrote down a bunch of questions for us today.
Yep.
And I think you'll appreciate this. I'll show you this at the end, but my daughter puts random drawings in my notebook.
Ah.
So there's a picture of Kenny, just like randomly from South Park. Just
alive or with mice. Running through his skull.
No, alive in this one.
Oh.
And there's another one called Farty Dad.
Okay.
I think you can probably imagine how that.
Sandra?
Do you mean me, honey? So, Matt,
yes.
Can we just get something out of the way real quick?
Sure.
I'm going to be totally clear about this.
Okay.
I did not watch 1 minute of the Grey Cup.
Oh, my.
Not 1 minute. God. And I want to go even further and say I had the choice to do it, but I decided to watch Home Alone 2. The New York one instead.
Well, I understand, Bob, as someone who's always been pro Donald Trump, as you have, you appreciate his cameo in the second one for his acting and empathy. So I understand.
He's so skinny in it.
Oh, is he?
It's compared to today.
Oh, okay, yeah, like that's like skinny dynamic Trump versus this version.
That's it. He's man on the move Trump as opposed to now where he's like guy who spent 4 hours at Outback.
Yeah. And he doesn't drink. Like, if I'm going to be that bloated, you're damn sure it's going to be because of booze.
By the way, Grey Cup just aside.
Yeah.
Is it my imagination or are you going to more wine of events than usual? Like, your Instagram seems bursting at the seams.
There's been a lot recently. There goes through these runs in Toronto. And I was talking with other people in the wine world. Everyone was like, oh my God, this week is killer. And by the way, that line sounds horrible because all you're doing is going and trying wine. But when you're doing it over and over again, it you know, you're getting older. It can pack a punch.
Now, is it kind of like sex where the first few times you're like, I could never see not wanting this?
Yes.
And then a few more, you're like,
I just want to watch Home Alone 2. Yes.
My friend has a theory that sports were invented on TV so that men could stay married.
Yeah. It's, you know what?
There's a reason to stay home.
There is a reason to stay home. Yeah. A lot of wine events. Shout out Noble Estates. I got the Chateau Neuf du Pape from 1972. That was crazy. Anyway.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
I'm going to set a timer.
Okay.
And I don't want any part of this conversation.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm
going to
rope you in.
Well, okay. If I have to. But
yeah.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes to say whatever the hell you want about the Grey Cup.
The Toronto Argonauts did it for the third time, going in as a clear underdog. The other team from the West was the more talented. And in all three cases, incredible games. The 100th Grey Cup, the 2017 one, and then on Sunday night, denying Winnipeg a three-peat, something we haven't seen since Warren Moon. And the crazy thing about the game was, we couldn't see it coming. The first half, a lot of punts, but it was a defensive slugfest, but a good one, where it was physical. Like, there was actually real hitting. It wasn't just because quarterbacks were missing passes. And then in the fourth quarter, all hell broke loose. In the fourth quarter, you had interceptions, a Grey Cup record for the longest punt return touchdown, two block punts, a guy from Laurier who went from goat to hero at the end of the game. It was an incredible Grey Cup. Back and forth, you had no idea. But Bob, the best part is the guy who won, this linebacker, who won the most outstanding player and most outstanding Canadian.
Hold on a second. We're coming up, and that's 1 minute. Take a quick breath.
Okay.
And back in.
His name is Henok Mwamba, and he is this incredible human being. I've had him on my radio show a whole bunch, and just a great person dedicated to charity. And seeing him in tears, been in the league for 11 years, and then seeing him holding his daughter. But then the best part, Bob, he's been interviewed by Darren Titian, who just, you know, a guy who battled back from cancer. So to see on stage with Henok in tears and Titian and his little daughter, I'm sitting here watching the game. I'm in tears as well. It was such a great ending for the Grey Cup.
Okay. You've got 25 extra seconds.
Let's see. Andrew Harris beating Winnipeg. Jagera Davis getting a second Grey Cup. Brandon Banks, even though he was bad in that game, a dumb penalty by him. He finally wins a Grey Cup as well. And finally, Zach Kolaros, not a great game. The Argonauts defense, they dominated, and they were the better team yesterday in that 24-23 win by Pinball Clemens' Toronto Argonauts.
Wow, you actually landed it. Look.
Yeah.
You landed it on the dot. You hit the top of the clock, buddy.
Hitting the post. And coming up next, it is September here on Z103.
Every month should be September.
Yeah.
And Rocktober.
And Rocktober.
Just alternate between the two. Toggling between the two.
Yeah. So it was a great game. It was super entertaining. It went back and forth. You had no idea who was going to win. Underdog story. And who doesn't like seeing Pinball Clemens party?
Okay, I'll be honest. There was one brief moment where I considered watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to TSN to see what the score was. And it was 4-3.
Yes.
I thought, no way.
Yeah.
Like, this fair. Is, like, this is fair. So, like, I'm not watching a 4-3 football game in the second quarter.
Totally fair. I'm one of these CFL guys that never gets angry that someone doesn't watch. I don't care. You know, so no, it was great. Shout out to everyone involved. We can move on to more important things.
Okay, we're going to do a ton of football today, both NFL and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a segment with you called 10 Questions and One Big One for Matt.
Sure.
All right, let's start with the 10 questions. And a lot of these are football, a couple other ones thrown in.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are two divisions in the NFL right now where all the teams are currently playing over 500 ball.
Mm-hmm.
The NFC East and the AFC East.
Yes.
Which is more likely of those two divisions to produce a Super Bowl champion, the NFC East or the AFC East?
AFC East. Buffalo has the highest ceiling, even more than Dallas, even more than Philly. And Dallas might have had the most dominant performance of the season, what they did to the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. Philly, not overly impressed with. They lost to Washington, and they probably should have lost to the Colts. The Colts are like one first down away from winning that game, and Jeff Saturday would have been 2-0. So I'm going to go with the AFC East.
There are so many question marks, and I would actually argue you're probably right, but I don't think either of them will produce a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Kansas City just looks like the team to beat. It's funny, every once in a while you get these teams that are really great, but you're so tired of talking about them that you almost forget they're there. But they're 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
They got the best quarterback in football.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, they got rid of a great wide receiver, but like the Kelsey's hook, like it's just money.
As long as
they're going to win.
Yes, as long as Tyreek Hill is healthy. My hot take before the start of the season was look out for Kansas City to miss the playoffs because Russell Wilson was going to be great. The Chargers were going to take a step up. Holy shit, was I wrong. But if Kelsey gets hurt, that is the number one Jenga piece, non-quarterback related in all of football.
Now, if you obviously have picked Buffalo to be the one that emerges from that stoop, but because you are an AFC East guy.
NFC East guy,
and the New York Football Giants are your team.
Frauds,
it's totally true.
Yeah.
But, you know, God bless.
God bless.
God bless, right?
Yeah, you know what they are? Ooh, I just thought of this. You know what the New York Giants are? Oh, I got to use this on air. Damn me, only having a one-hour show today because of the World Cup. The New York Giants, they're Lyle Lovett. When Lyle Lovett was on a red carpet, this was many years ago, if you're young, Google it, and he's walking on the red carpet with Julia Roberts, we all knew at the time, she's dumping your ass. She genuinely likes you. You're a talented, soulful musician. She ain't staying with you. And it's the same thing with the Giants. Oh, look at that record. But this version of dumping your ass is they lose by 20 in the playoffs.
I'm going to go one step further.
Yeah.
Lyle Lovett is Buster Douglas.
Mm. Yeah.
You knew he wasn't going to be champion forever.
He wasn't.
But it doesn't matter. We will always talk about him for the incredible upset.
Sidebar, Buster Douglas had a Sega Genesis game. Like, I don't know how fast those programmers put out a Buster Douglas knockout.
Do you remember his first name?
Steve.
Close. James.
James.
James Buster Douglas.
You know what? I did know that. Oh, I'm a dummy. I should have known that. Ugh.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
The first question is done. So this sort of gets into the next question, but I'll do it with my own arrogant, pretentious comparison.
Ooh.
I sent this out on Twitter yesterday. I said, if this was the last tweet, I'm going out as I came in, pretentious.
Oh, that's a good line.
Bill Belichick
is
turning into Charles Foster Kane.
Mm.
And Mac Jones is his wife, Susan, who he insists must become an opera singer.
Oh, my God, Bob. That is so fucking good. That is so good. Now I wish I had 4 hours. I'd steal that and call it my own.
And I sent it out with a little picture of Charles Foster Kane in the audience clapping.
Yes.
Stan, so damn you.
Yes. Yes. That's so true. It's like, I know Mac Jones lost weight. He's got a great jawline this offseason. But no, it's not him. It's never going to be him.
I was toggling, to use that word again, back and forth between the Bills game and the Jets game because of the Bills. I expected them to win, but it didn't matter because if the Jets won, they would be first because of a tiebreaker. And I thought, I just can't have the New York Jets after 10 games be first in the division. That will feel like an abject failure.
Yes.
Now, thankfully, for my unrealistic expectations of Josh Allen, that didn't happen. But man, that game was bad. I mean, it was kind of cool in the sense that it was a throwback.
Yeah.
3-3 in the fourth quarter. I mean, defense is fun, but not that much fun.
Defense is fun when it's Hall of Fame level defensive players going up against at least average offenses.
Ray Lewis going sideline to sideline.
Yes. Like
Troy Polamalu doing Troy Polamalu things.
A Ravens-Steelers game from the mid-2000s would be the most entertaining 13-10 game you saw. What you saw yesterday was absolute dog shit. And Zach Wilson is bad. And Mac Jones is Charles Foster Kane's not very talented singing wife. It's a great analogy.
I'm glad you like it.
I'm not going to do any better than that today.
Okay, well, this gets us to question number two for Matt.
Yeah.
Which 6-4 team do you trust the most to finish with 10 or more wins? Cincinnati, Seattle, or New England?
I'm going to go Cincinnati because Ja'Marr Chase will be coming back. Joe Burrow looks great. Seattle feels like a higher-end version of the New York Giants. You know, I believe in them a little bit more. And who's the third team again?
It was Cincinnati, Seattle, and New England.
And New England. Yeah, New England is high floor, low ceiling team.
All right. You ready for this? Yeah. This is kind of a second part. This is the third question, but a bit of a 2B.
Yeah.
Buckle yourself in.
Okay.
When I wrote this down, I thought, Matt is going to love this. Which all-time legend, potentially the GOAT at what they do, is hurting their team more right now?
Ooh.
Bill Belichick or LeBron James?
Both of them are bad at player personnel decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Just Belichick with receivers and the draft, LeBron James with Russell Westbrook over DeMar DeRozan.
And you have to factor in that if you actually did trade LeBron James, you get a king's ransom
him.
Like, you can't really trade Belichick, but you have to factor that in with James.
Then it's LeBron. LeBron is, because also with LeBron, you can't do classic team improving. You got to win now because you got LeBron. So that means you only have one path. At least with Belichick, he could go different paths. He could decide to blow it up if he wanted to. So LeBron is killing the Lakers more than Belichick is killing the Patriots.
Are you sure though? Because Belichick basically got Tom Brady out of town and he went and won a Super Bowl with another team the next year.
Mm-hmm.
In a showdown between the two where he refused to flinch, he basically became a losing franchise while the guy that he did his Mexican standoff with went and won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's not very good.
Oh, no. Listen, you want to argue Belichick? I'll stand down, but I'm going to go with LeBron James just because imagine what the Lakers would have been last year and this year if it was DeRozan and not Russell Westbrook.
I'm watching Belichick defend Mac Jones, and it reminds me of Trump and election denialism.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I know this isn't working.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it, damn it. I'm doing it, and you're going to be into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. And by the way, I promise I'm not going to spend the rest of this pod trying to think of a better metaphor than the Charles Foster Kane's wife one. I'm not even going to try to one-up it.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to just stand down and go, all right, guys, we'll live to fight another day.
Question four. Detroit is 4-6. The Green Bay Packers are 4-7. Which team finishes with more wins? Keep in mind that Detroit has a game in hand.
Yeah, they do have a game in hand. And the obvious answer is Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers isn't good. He's had one good quarter and a half against Dallas. He's not good. Maybe he will be, but he has not been good this year. And the poison, whatever's going on in him, the negativity in him, can find a way to seep its way through. At least the other side, the Lions have won a bunch of games, and they got this odd, like, you know what the Lions have? Aw, shucks, we've never done this before. No one believes in us. Green Bay's done winning before. This could just be a year where everyone's like, oh, fuck it. Let's just go home. Grumpy sad eyes over there. Like, I'm going to go the Lions.
I actually agree with you. I watched yesterday's game, and they're not a great football team.
No.
But sometimes teams, like if a team can play to its level, it can dig out a bunch of wins that it doesn't necessarily deserve. Most teams don't do well because they don't play to their level.
Yeah.
They have good players. You know, you have smart people, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't connect. It's pretty rare when you get to this level that a team is just shit.
Yeah.
Some are. Like maybe like the bottom quarter of the league is just not good enough. But then you've got that weird sort of next 25 to 30% of teams that underperform. And they do it to themselves. They do.
Yep.
And that's what really hurts. I feel like that team is Green Bay. They could be better than this, but they won't be because they hate themselves.
They do.
Whereas Detroit wants to like itself. And honestly, Matt, I tell Charlotte, my daughter, all the time, it doesn't matter how good you are at something. It matters how much you want to be good at it.
Yep.
And then anything that you have will be doubled.
And that's half true. But sometimes still take the talent over the... No, I'm kidding.
It's one of the great questions, though, right?
It is one of the great questions. It is. Okay, as for... Okay. I'll finish on this thing.
Okay.
Green Bay... Or Detroit really wants to win. Green Bay wants to end the year.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it. Okay, so that was question four. Question five for Matt, you've already answered. Describe the Giants in one word.
Yep.
I believe you said fraudulent.
Fraudulent.
All right, moving on to this one. Pick one team who's... Like, let's say these were stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to invest in the next 5 years in one of these teams. Would you pick Arizona, the Rams, the Denver Broncos, or Las Vegas? If you buy low, sell high. You're buying low on one of those teams for 5 years.
Okay, I'm going to get rid of the Raiders right now. Horrible ownership. Also, they don't have a lot of money. So I'm going to get rid of them. Rams, Cardinals, and Denver. Denver... Incredible defense. They'll never figure out the quarterback. I will. Fuck. I don't trust the Cardinals. Kingsbury's not good, but I don't know what it is. There's a stink right now with Kyler Murray. There is a stink, and it's been going on since that goofy contract. Christ. I'll go with the Rams, but Aaron Donald's going to say bye-bye McVay.
Matt Stafford is breaking down.
I mean, I guess you have to go with the Cardinals because Murray is young and he can mature and he is young and Russell Wilson is just great at is creepy at TikTok. Begrudgingly, I'm going Arizona.
Which team has the best owner in your opinion?
Well, let's see. Denver. I mean,
it's Denver, right?
It's Denver. They.
So isn't the answer Denver? Because when it comes right down to it, when everybody bottoms out.
Yeah.
And you have to build back up. Doesn't it just come down to ownership?
But ownership. I mean, they're the richest. They're Walmart. But Elway hasn't done a good job identifying a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The team decided Nathaniel Hackett was the right answer. They are incredible on defense. The Raiders got the worst ownership. You know, Rams have a good ownership. That is a good GM and coach. But the problem is Sean McVay, he could leave at any moment now, and they don't have any draft picks. I don't really know Arizona's ownership that well, but, I mean, Bob, that's four horrible choices. You know, that's like...
I left Jacksonville off the list.
Oh, I would take Jacksonville in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because it was actually too easy to pick Jacksonville. Good quarterback.
Yeah, good potential quarterback. But it also says how bad those other teams are, where I would take Jacksonville over all of them.
Have you ever seen the TV show The Good Place?
Bob, Chidi is one of the greatest human beings ever. And if we talk too much about The Good Place, I will start crying.
Okay. So I haven't watched season four, so don't say anything about it.
I'm just about to start it. Oh, you lucky son of a bitch.
I love it so far. But every time that Jason talks about Blake Bortles, I think about our old show and Hot Jags talk.
Hot Jags talk. Bortles!
And he came up with a fake name for himself, and he called himself Jake Jortles.
It's so good. Oh, my God.
His dad's name is Donkey Doug.
Bob, when you watch the final season, and not to turn this about me, the final two episodes, you're going to be like, oh, Cos must have been miserable.
I think I'm a bit like Chidi, but I'm more decisive. But mm-hmm. the whole, yes. like, I just want to lecture everybody all yes. the time.
Oh, Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm watching it with my family, and all the heads do the slow turn towards me.
Of course.
Of course.
Oh, just warning you now, the first couple episodes, get the Kleenex.
All right. So we're six questions down. Let's look ahead.
Yeah.
Huge Thanksgiving game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a bit about Thanksgiving in a second, but Giants and Cowboys. Tons of implications coming up.
Cowboys are going to crush them.
Okay,
they're going to crush them.
I'm going to. You do the gambling stuff on your show, so I'm going to throw some gambling out at
you.
Obviously, you've just answered the Cowboys at -8.
By the way, you need to know this. I believe I went 3-8. I did get one bet right. Who would have more touchdown passes, Mahomes or Zach Caleros?
Over under on points is 43.5.
Ooh, Giants might not score.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah. I take the under. I think it's going to be like 27-7.
Yeah, I could actually see that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's seven down. Do you want to do a quick break for Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? If I was driving, I would break if I saw Jeff. You know why? Because I wouldn't want anything injured to Jeff Pollock, our lawyer. That's not my best segue. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. At some point, you will need legal help. You get older. Trust me, you're going to need legal advice. And you don't want to be out there last minute looking through a Yelp review, knowing who knows, maybe it's a bunch of zero bombs they give some lawyer. You want someone good, someone who can trust, someone who will be attentive. Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. He's our friend. Jeff Pollock with a G. JeffPollock.com. Check him out.
All right. So that's seven down.
Yeah.
Number eight, which non-grape food makes the best wine?
Which non-grape
food?
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, like, their grapes make wine.
Yeah.
But you hear in songs, oh, strawberry wine or dandelion wine.
Oh, okay.
What food item makes the best, like, non-grape, obviously?
Non-grape. None. None.
Is there, strawberry wine shit?
Yeah, it's, well, okay. No, I'll take that back. Up in, like Muskoka-y area, there are some fruit wine places. So really, then it just I'm gonna go with cranberry. I'm gonna go with
cranberry wine. Yeah. Can you recommend one?
No, not just because I don't remember the names. But
okay,
like if you're ever up in the Bala region, there's a place that does it. But yeah, go cranberry.
All right, question number nine. You are Elon Musk.
Yeah. Take that. I'm owning the libs. Look at this meme, libs.
Would you rather Twitter be civil and smart, but not that fun, or the way it is now, a hell pit, but lively?
It is lively.
And how about, and even just as Matt, would you rather see it be sort of like CBC or PBS or NPR where you go, oh, that was an enriching experience?
Of course I would take that. I will always take door number one, then door number two. First off, to Elon Musk, it's like, you had all this potential. What are you doing fucking around with Twitter? By the way, I love all the blowhards. I'm leaving Twitter. I'm not going to leave Twitter. It has like zero impact on my life that Elon's in charge. And I know there is actually real world implications. I'm just not smart enough for it. And I'm thinking about 1972 Chateau Neuf-de-Pape. But the bigger point here is Elon, you like earlier before you became all nutty, you're making electric cars. You're trying to make a difference. You're trying to, you know, make tunnels to make it easier for people to travel. That's the Elon that I want in my life, not this arrogant weirdo version right now. Just seems like a waste.
I think he was probably always a weirdo, and he was probably always pretty arrogant, but we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or we did, but not quite in the same way. And here's what I learned.
Yeah.
Now, there's a mutual friend of ours. I won't name him, but we both worked on a show once upon a time.
Okay.
And he and I have done a lot of business together outside of the shows that you and I worked on.
And if his daughter sells cookies, buy them.
So anyway, when Landsberg and I are doing, I used to see people all the time who were more successful, richer, way smarter, but they loved, like they acted like he had something they didn't. And here's what it really came down to, I think. Everybody knows who Landsberg is. Nobody knew who these people were. So they could walk into a room together and everyone would flock to Michael, even though the person immediately to his right, not me, I was on his left, the person on his right was probably a multiple of 100 times richer.
Yeah.
A multiple of 100 times smarter. But nobody gave a shit. These really smart fuckers, they can't handle that no one cares about them. It's like, wait a minute. I have an IQ of 170.
Yeah.
I have $1 billion. I could buy you and your whole family for 20 generations. Bow before me. And you look at them and go, fuck off.
Yeah.
But if they're famous, you take that knee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, that's so much of this is just a power play, ego trip. It just feels like a waste.
It's the power of fame.
Yeah.
I don't know why fame has become so seductive. I imagine it always has. You even go back to the Greek myths. What was the idea that your name would live on forever?
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to most people, like certainly kids, and you ask them, would you rather be healthy and have a productive life that was modest and nobody knew about it, or be famous and a real shit show?
Yeah.
They would always take the shit show.
Two things. First, going back to the Greek thing, that was a great way to get soldiers to fight for you. It's like, yeah, so you see that Duke over there stole my woman. I'm going to need you 1,000 people to go at that castle. Yeah, I know there's flames there, but keep in mind, you'll die with glory and your name will ring through the heavens forever. Huh? Huh?
And the two guys look at each other, and the one guy says, songs? And the other one says, songs. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here it is. But the second thing is, I think what this comes down to is why everyone's, why fame is more seductive now, is because it's more readily accessible. And it's not that we were morally better in 1989. It's we didn't have any way of becoming famous unless you drew something in the bathroom stall. Now you could film yourself tripping on YouTube and maybe you have a couple months where you're famous and someone pays you money because you're getting YouTube hits. And I think that it's just so seductive.
You are only one video away from becoming the I didn't do it kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
At exactly. All times.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a great point, Matt. And you know, we would love to reference Andy Warhol's famous saying about everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not true, but there's a lot more famous people than there ever were. The whole currency has been totally devalued. But to go back to the question, I believe that you would rather have it be civil because you're not a maniac.
Yeah.
But most people are, myself mm-hmm. included. Yes. Honestly, like I signed up for Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring.
I don't even know what Mastodon is.
It's the non-fighting version of Twitter.
Oh, God, how pretentious is it? Let me guess. Everyone who's on Mastodon, they read every Vox and Atlantic article.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
What NPR. I think NPR makes great shows. They Why don't I listen to any of them?
Oh, This American Life is so good. Oh, I love This American Life.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
All right, so final one here. Leafs play the Isles coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
Leafs have 24 points. The Islanders have 22.
Yep.
But let's face it, right now it is the Lou versus Dube GM Mageddon.
That's right.
Every time these two teams are compared, it's always about who should the Leafs have kept.
Yeah, somehow this will... Somehow there's... You know, at some point today, Nikita Zaitsev is going to be trending because all the Dubas people are like, see, look at that horrible deal that Lou signed.
Okay, can I make a controversial statement here? And yeah. The question is, do you agree?
Yeah.
I think it's a tie.
No.
I think it's a tie.
Body of work?
Yeah. So far, I mean, since both of them parted ways,
okay.
not
okay.
forever.
Oh, okay,
but,
okay, sorry.
But since that fateful decision where Shanny went with Dube over Lou,
yeah,
I'd say it's kind of a dead heat.
I can't do that because the Islanders have won several playoff series. And bad luck, short sample size, Matthews zero shooting percentage in game sevens. And I understand that, but in the end, I'm going to have to go back to pelts. Who's got more pelts?
I agree, but who's set up to do a better job moving forward?
Great. I can't wait, Doc Brown. Let's go in the future. Let's see how that works out.
That's got to be part of it when you assess a GM. That's one of the hard things about being a GM is most of your legacy, you're not there for, good or bad.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. Absolutely. Championships are won on the backs of assistant general managers that got fired. No one wants to talk about it, but there's some sleazy former Houston Astro people that certainly may deserve a ring or two after the Astros won the World Series.
Shall we dot, dot, dot a couple? I've got some controversial statements.
Yeah.
This is where I read something and then just say dot, 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 a la Larry King or Steve Simmons. Mm-hmm. And you decide which one you want to discuss, okay? The Nets are 8-9. They play the Raptors tonight, who are 9-8. And I think the Nets will finish with a better record this year. Wait, Andor has revived my faith in the Star Wars franchise, dot, dot, dot. Bob Iger is back as CEO as Disney, and I think ESPN will be sold by summer 2023, dot, dot, dot. And I'm happy to see that Matt Murray's back. He seems like a nice guy, but how many games does he have to win before it's a feel-good story, dot, dot, dot.
Is the Raptors-Brooklyn game tonight? I think it might be a little later in the week.
Yeah, but I think anyway. It's later in the week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just doing that because someone will listen and go, no, it's not until Wednesday.
Yeah, nobody's listening.
I think Raptors injuries right now and the Scotty Barnes growing pains. You know, I think the Nets will. Now, fuck it. I don't want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Fuck them. Fuck Kyrie Irving. Seriously.
Did you see the line of supporters?
Yeah, I saw the line of supporters. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
It is.
We just don't know how to talk about anti-Semitism in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
People feed into it. It never goes away. And
then it gets, but then it gets into a battle of which group was more historically oppressed. And then you get two groups that have been oppressed fighting against each other. And then you're just on the sidelines going, oh, this all sucks.
Honestly, Matt, and I'm not saying I have some grand pronouncement. I'm not going to cheaty this. I don't know the way out of it,
mm-hmm.
but we just don't know how to talk about race. And we just don't know how to talk about fairness.
We
just don't know how to do
it. You want to have an honest dialogue about it? Then you start bringing up some honest facts and suddenly you're a horrible person on whichever side.
And conversely, people don't want to face what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to Germany and you see the Holocaust museums there, it's so powerful because they did that.
Yeah.
We would never talk about the First Nations in the same way that the Germans talk about their, you know, like we fight that and say, well, how dare you hate Canada so much?
Yeah.
I think the Germans give us a bit of a model to say, you know, generations out, let's not forget this. You know the never again of World War II?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? You know how you get there? You look at this and say, we better not do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see it starting, you stamp it out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, that's, I don't want to get like cheaty about all this.
Oh, by the way, if you can cheaty your way out of it, I'm all for it. Let's see.
We just don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
As a culture.
Let's see. Then there's the Andor one. I haven't seen the last couple episodes. Bob Iger going back to Disney. I mean, it's one of these topics that I understand why if you're just an average sports fan, I get it why you wouldn't be interested. You don't need to be.
But here's why it matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because is ESPN going to be sold?
Yeah.
ESPN 5-10 years ago was the crown jewel of the Disney empire in terms of generating revenue.
Yep.
You couldn't print enough money.
Mm-hmm. The subscriptions. Everyone had a subscription.
It's just the cable business was the business. And if you guys don't know when you're listening, the reason why this is not just because so many people like sports. It's because in the cable business, they have something called sub rates, subscription rates. Cable companies pay a certain percentage right out of the gate to different broadcasters because they make the package enticing.
Yeah.
TSN, I think, was like 7% of every dollar went immediately to them. And that was before they charged one nickel for advertising. You couldn't lose. And that's why the most important relationships in all of sports broadcasting is between those cable companies and the sports broadcasters. It's not that great a business anymore, though. It's starting to become a bit of a drain. And you could use that money to bolster other. They could sell that and buy Netflix.
Yeah.
Oof. But if it sells and it's cast to the wind, doesn't it feel kind of like you crossed the Rubicon somehow, that ESPN's not valuable enough to hold on to? What does this mean for sports broadcasting?
What does it mean for where do we watch it? You know, is it just you got to get Amazon Plus? And you know what the irony of all this is?
Hmm.
I've you know, heard from like some of the younger people on the planet that in the end, sometimes having a cable package is actually cheaper than doing all the streaming because you got to have this service. And by the end of it, you're like, wait a minute, I'm paying basically the same. And every now and then I got to stream this thing that I want to watch and the bit rate or just the it doesn't come in great.
You know who's the big loser in all this?
Mm.
Is Twitter, because Twitter is what makes streaming so valuable. Here's what I mean by that. If I wanted to, I could sign up for Netflix, watch for a couple months, binge a whole bunch of shows, and then dump it.
Yeah.
Do the same with Crave.
Yeah.
Dump that. Do it with Amazon. But what I don't get to be is part of the cultural conversation.
Yes.
I'm watching stuff 6 to 12 months behind when everybody else was. But Twitter is what makes these things really valuable. Oh, you know this from being a Game of Thrones fan.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of it isn't the show. It's talking about the show right afterwards.
The jokes, the memes, the thoughts, all of it. Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
And that's true for sports, too.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a really good broadcast that you couldn't talk about with anyone or a shitty broadcast that you could talk about with everyone?
Oh, the second one. Because we 100%. We all like being in the town square.
It's, you know, so that's really what you lose in all this. But the thing that's so interesting to me about this deal is you said we'll probably have to get the streamers. 100%.
Yeah.
You already see it starting. Amazon football. But it's going to be really weird when you have to subscribe to a streamer just because you're a baseball fan. What if Apple buys it all? You're going to have 5 or 6 packages.
And you're going to have to find easy ways to communicate this for A, the young people, to explain to them why their money's being spent the way it is. And for the older generation that doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it's going to be so alienating. And that's why I think you're going to see at least another round or two of the cable broadcasters and the networks being important. Because
Do it for another 50 years or so.
They're doing it for my dad,
yeah,
who watches a lot of sports, but mm-hmm. they're not doing it for you.
No.
Eventually, you're going to get churned out because there'll just be too many people younger than you to not go for them first.
Well, thankfully, my twin brother is very smart when it comes to technology, so he'll just help.
You can watch it on your BlackBerry.
Huh? I haven't had a BlackBerry in ages. I wish I did have a BlackBerry.
All right, so how long do we have?
We got about 15 or so minutes.
All right, so we've gone through the 10 small questions for Matt.
Yeah.
Here's my big one for you.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you, this isn't the question, this is the setup question. How much have you talked about the social implications of the World Cup and the stuff that goes around it on your radio show?
A bunch.
How much does the station do it?
Well, the show before me is Leafs Lunch, and so they're not going to. I don't think a ton. I think it gets brought up. I think some people get uncomfortable. And I think part of it is because they don't do the and you know, you're busy. You got a wife, a husband,
well, yeah,
kids and stuff.
Carlo and Aaron are yucks.
Yeah.
And the Overdrive guys are yucks.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that you talked about it because you've always sort of been a how does sport fit into culture kind of guy. You've always found that interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is a great question. But it brings me back to this. You could either consume the World Cup and not think about any of that stuff, or you could put that front and center and fire, you know, human rights abuses and the corrupt FIFA mm-hmm. management of this thing, the dubiousness on about 100 different levels. You could put that front and center and be legitimized. Here's what I honestly don't know. Is it okay to just say, fuck it, I love soccer and I just want to watch?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Are you sure? Like, and I'm not disagreeing with
no,
you.
No,
this
no,
is what makes, I'm just going to tease
yeah,
out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, because if you're going to go down that path, what can you morally consume? You want to consume the NBA? We're two steps away from China and LeBron James telling Daryl Morey, ironically, to shut up and dribble. You want to talk about Amazon or your iPhone? Like, the problem with whataboutism is whataboutism on one level is good because it helps to highlight hypocrisy and all the evils or just negatives going on. But the other level is you get so lost in the whataboutisms that you can't ever focus on one of them. So mine is a very naive way of looking at it. If you are a good person, try to raise your kids right, be a good dad, mom, friend, you pay your taxes, you do legitimate charitable work, and the World Cup is a thing that you just want to enjoy, I'm not going to cast a finger on you or a shaming look on you. I wish it was different. I wish the World Cup wasn't in Qatar. You and I interviewed Jeremy Schapp almost a decade ago, and it was going on then about slaves dying because of the work conditions, building these rickety stadiums and the human rights issues and homosexuality and all these things. Like, God, I wish it wasn't there. And when I watch, it's always in the back of my mind. When the Budweiser thing happened, the Budweiser thing wasn't damn it, we can't have some brew. The Budweiser thing was, oh, yeah, the government there, they should make the rules. And then when they want to change the rules, they change the rules. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
So I'm going to follow your route a little bit before I circle back and disagree with us both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been a pretty hard run lately mm-hmm. for all of us. You know, COVID, the collapsing of society. And sports has always been a place where you can just kind of decompress. And I used to look down on that stuff when I was younger, but the older I get, the more I realize it's not such a bad thing to have a safe space where you can just go and enjoy yourself. It's a bit like Cheers. You want to go where everybody knows your name. There's something to be said about, look, I'm just going to turn off my brain and watch a hockey game.
For mental health, you can argue for mental health, it's a good thing.
There are so few places to park your attention these days that don't extract more than they give.
Yeah.
Whether it's work. I mean, family is a beautiful thing, but I can tell you now the advent of the cell phone has made having a family incredibly hard because you are on 24/7. And the expectations, like my kids, parents used to throw me in the backyard.
Yeah.
See in 6 hours.
Yeah.
But now, in order for your kid to, quote unquote, get to university, they need to have this kind of teacher and this kind of experience and this kind of that. And it's true. There are more kids with 95% and higher in the Ontario universities than ever before. Those kids are going to university. You know who isn't? Mm. Kids who don't have 95. So do you want your kid to go? Because you better get them to this job and this tutoring and this. The expectations of everything have gone through the roof. The point I'm saying this is because if you love fucking soccer, don't you just want to sit there and cheer your team?
Yes.
And isn't that fair?
Of course it's fair.
You know, more and more I'm like, God, do I really need to know how the sausage is made about everything?
Because I don't think you can. I don't think you can know how the sausage is made about everything.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
To cheaty this.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We do know. So once you know, and this is the problem of consciousness, as they say, once you're aware of it, you can't not be unaware of it. There was that shooting in Colorado Springs yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear there was a tweet that AOC sent to Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert sent, you know, she's represented from Colorado.
She probably did a thoughts and prayers.
She did.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, this is a horrible thing. And, you know, we got, you know, hope this never happens again. And the clapback was incredible. And I couldn't have agreed more with it. It was like, you have put forward anti-trans philosophies and bills. You have demonized gay people. And you have stood in the way of even the most basic and common sense gun control. You don't get to thoughts and prayers your way out of this.
Yeah.
You are part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Own up to it and change.
Yeah.
And that's, I love that. But if you know that you're involved in something bad, how do you wipe that out of your brain? And isn't it true that in order for evil to flourish, all it takes is for average citizens to do nothing?
So what's the solution?
I don't know. I don't know that there is a solution. Pick your battles.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't fight every battle. That's not realistic. But this is a big one. This is the biggest sporting event in the world. I saw the comparative television audience for the World Cup versus everything else. The Super Bowl is like a thimble compared to the number of people who are going to watch this thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, do you hope, like, the thing is, I don't know what's going to change. Like, over there in that culture, the feeling when it comes to homosexuality, you know, like,
yeah, probably nothing. And also, like, but FIFA, but maybe then you work with FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not going to change, you know, if all the things that go to Russia, whether it's the IOC or FIFA or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not going to change Putin, maybe you change FIFA.
Well, then, yeah, well, that goes back to the old FIFA head who just readily
Sepp Blatter,
who just admitted, yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't have gone to Qatar. Nice of you to say it now. Better if you'd done it then. So then it goes to the idea of, can you curb greed? Because in the end, this comes back to money. Why did FIFA do it? Oh my God, look at all that money. Okay. You know, like, in the end, that's what this comes down to.
But isn't it true, though, if greed is what it comes down to, then if people don't watch, they'll be forced to make those changes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now, can you galvanize an entire, and again, this isn't like, hey, let's boycott Roseanne until they take her off the air and we'll let John Goodman be the star and Laurie Metcalf. This is, can you convince planet Earth not to watch their favorite sport?
And the answer is probably not.
Yeah.
But then the battle is already lost because you've kind of said, I'm not willing to make the kinds of changes that will result in positive advancement because it would cost me too much personally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you identify it that way, nobody would ever say, well, here's my plan.
Yeah.
I know that by acting this way, it would help a lot of people, but I really don't care because I like the opposite so much.
Yes.
Nobody would ever say that. But we kind of organize a lot of stuff that way. What's really interesting about the QP strike is it forces people to talk about what matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, the Star put out a stupid poll, which is, you know, do you want kids in school? And it was like over 3/4 of people want kids in school. Well, of course you fucking want kids in school. Who doesn't? Are you willing to put the rights of workers and labor in general elevated to a place where, yes, it's going to cause me a hit because the kids aren't in school, but it is going to mean that maybe the cause of organized labor doesn't die on the vine. It's not that simple. I'm just saying, if you organized it that way, the strike makes you ask yourself, okay, well, this is bad for me in the moment, but it could be good for me and mine later on.
It could be. The other side, though, is I do understand people that are upset with the educational side when they're like, wait a minute, I haven't got a raise in ages. Wait, how much of a raise are you getting? Oh, wait, but you do this job. You like, whenever there's a situation like this, it's going to, it's not going to divide, but it's going to make you be upset at someone that you probably shouldn't be or wouldn't normally be. And there's a level of resentment because it's like, wait a minute, I'm struggling and now I'm getting impacted with my kids because you're asking for something that if I ask for, I'm getting fired, but you're protected in the on the government side of things.
Like, sure.
But
let's just assume for argument's sake.
Yeah.
And I really only meant to bring that up, not as an example of like good or bad labor or whatever, but just how flashpoints create conversations. Mm-hmm. And there's an old saying, which is never let a crisis go to waste.
Yes.
The World Cup is one of those flashpoints where you go, okay, well, what do I actually, I mean, you're not going to think this every day walking down the street.
No.
But because this thing is so big and because the human rights abuses are significant enough, you kind of have to.
Yes.
TSN said, look, we're going to cover the sport, but we're going to cover the story around the sport, too. And I love that TSN does this.
They open it. By the way, they open their coverage. The official starts of the coverage yesterday, excuse me. And within the first 30 seconds, all that was brought up.
Yeah.
Today, all the stuff about the armbands and how, you know, they're Harry Kane and everyone's going to wear rainbow.
Yeah, but then
armbands.
They were going to get yellow carded because FIFA did not want to set that precedent that they were going to endorse. And think about what you're saying. I'm not going to endorse. I'm not going to endorse the idea that homosexual love is morally on par with heterosexual love.
Yeah.
We refuse to stand behind that.
I know. Well, it should be the simplest layup.
But I would boycott
the simplest layup.
Let's take a company. Like, let's say some jeans company came out and said, well, you know what? We actually don't support gay people. I would never buy their jeans.
Yes.
But I don't care because there's 50 other jeans that I could buy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that much to me. But this is the biggest sporting event in the world, though. This one you actually have to really give up. And what I learned the hard way when I got fired by Bell and I realized, like, I watched a lot of stuff go by and I wasn't part of it directly. What I realized was, it's one thing to say what you stand for, but what are you willing to give up? Mm-hmm. That really determines what you really believe. What am I willing to work towards? That's great.
Yeah.
But what am I willing to walk away from because it isn't the right thing, even though it comes at personal expense?
Yeah.
And that's why I look at this and I'm so fascinated by it because I can honestly see both sides. I'm going to watch it and then I'm going to tweet about how we shouldn't watch it. And that makes me a big fucking hypocrite.
Yeah. See, for me, it's easy for me to play the hero. I'm not a soccer guy. I'm going to watch the Canadian matches because I need to talk about it on air. But then I'm also going to always bring up, you know, the societal side of this, the missed opportunity today for Harry Kane and everyone from England to say, fuck it. Well, I'll take a yellow. Do what you want. Here's an armband.
But there is no gesture that is bigger than just walking away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're right. If they just walked away. That would be the only way. But
when NBA teams refused to play during Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And they had to shut the whole league down.
Yeah.
That was powerful.
It was. The thing, though, is that you knew that was never going to end their careers because the NBA was going to be for it. The owner. It's not like the owners are like, if you don't Milwaukee, if you don't play this game, Giannis, you're never going to play again. Giannis is going to play. And he let it. And the thing is, no, it is brave, but like, it's not the ultimate. You're not going full Les Miserables with your sacrifice.
There, and I don't want to sound hypocritical here because, you know, I've worked and I've tried to work so that I can contribute to my own personal satisfaction and the welfare of my family.
Yes.
But there's an old saying about the 401k in the States that it is the greatest source of moral hypocrisy than anything else. Because everyone, to your point about how I just work hard and I just put my head down and I got to have my 401k at the end because I got to take care of me and my family. So it doesn't matter what you're doing because you've kind of sectioned that off and said, well, if I just focus on me and take care of my stuff, you know, but then it doesn't matter what you do. But then you kind of give all your leverage back at that point as a citizen who says, I don't want to belong in a society that would allow this, but you're doing it or at least enabling it.
Well, I think what I say about, you know, the best way to do it is to be a good person, pay your taxes, have a job, be a good family member, all these things. But I also throw in, and, you know, you got to give back. Find some charities. You're not going to be able to solve everything, but you should also not be blind to charity.
And in fairness, this is the classic liberal conservative split, mm-hmm. for what it's worth. The conservatives say, okay, well, I'm going to do X, but I will offset it with Y.
Right.
And nobody should tell me I should have to give to charity, but I would want to. And by wanting to, I can justify the acquisition of X because it results in the giving of Y.
Yeah.
And that is the conservative point of view, whereas the liberals would say, well, you've got X, but you can't have all of X because we just have to distribute it. And you kind of take that choice out of the whole thing. Now, your way works great if somebody does that, but let's take all the tax breaks out of charity.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Sure.
It's just money out of your pocket.
Hey, charity.
How many people are doing it then? Yeah. You guys are.
Yeah, we're not.
But how many people are?
I don't know.
How many rich people are saying, okay, there are no tax breaks for any charity,
yeah,
like a tithe.
Yeah.
I am tithing myself. 10% of all my money will go,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens. Good year, bad year, whatever.
Yeah, given away.
Do you feel like there's going to be as much giving at that point?
I do not.
I do not either.
I feel that there would
be. I think time and time again, we've seen trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it does.
So do you like Canada get out of the group? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, my point to this is, like, what can I do? Isn't that what this all comes back to? Is mm-hmm. what can I do?
Yeah.
And what can I be expected to do?
Unless everyone agrees to not watch, this is not going to have any impact. The World
Cup,
the World Cup, all the moral hand-wringing, which is all correct and right, it's not going to do a thing. When the head of FIFA said, hey, you know, everyone needs to apologize. Like, okay, great. Nice solution there. And Qatar's not going to change. That part of the world's not going to change. That is who they are. That is their culture. That is their belief system. And no amount of Twitter or armbands is going to change it.
True. Now, let me flip this around. I'm being cheaty today. I love this.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to put on my glasses.
Yeah.
I got cheaty glasses. Maybe we'll put a picture of this on our Instagram account.
Nice.
I've heard lots of people talk about this with Canada and the environmental movement, which mm-hmm. is to say we can, you know, we can cap and limit ourselves in a number of ways, which could negatively impact our economic growth.
Yeah.
And it might actually contribute to a better environmental situation. It could. It probably will, based on the science. But if China and India don't do anything, we're a drop in the bucket.
Yes.
So we're hurting ourselves for something that's not going to make any difference. But does that mean it's not still the right thing to do? And do we not do things because they're the right thing to do? Or do we only do them because I'm going to get something out of it?
Right. Yeah. It's, by the way, I do understand the frustration. We're going, wait a minute.
What? That's consequentialism.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, God. Such a good show. I do understand, you know, especially like, say, farmers or things like that going, wait a minute, I am getting screwed here. I'm the one feeding everyone. And yet, you know, all these regulations are making my life impossible. And if I do everything 100% right, it won't actually mean anything because of what's going on in Southeast Asia.
So I'm throwing out Kant's deontological argument where there are just simply a priori categories of right and wrong. I'm so into this show, man. But I'm much more motivated by things like communitarianism and contractualism as espoused by Scanlon, who actually is a big philosopher in that. I'm sorry. I just couldn't help him do it. No, you know, honestly, all bullshit aside, I honestly find this a really challenging moral position to be in.
Yes.
Because everything you said is true.
Mm-hmm.
And intellectually, I can disagree with it. But do I really? Because I'm probably going to act closer to the way you're speaking than what my brain tells me might be a fairer way to do it. Does that make me a bad person if I do this one thing, but nine other things I do are good?
No. It
doesn't it, though?
I don't think
if I lie to one person, but I tell this truth to nine others, isn't it still a lie?
I feel perfection is unattainable. And maybe that's just a nice shield for when I want to do something bad.
But then we get to pick and choose who we hurt.
Yeah.
Well, what fucking good is that? Like, who are we to decide who we hurt and don't?
Try not to hurt too many people. I mean, how many people are going to go through life not hurting anyone? Where 100% of their actions will not cause any indirect pain to someone else.
But this is how we get the rise of anti-Semitism, because we've decided, okay, well, that's not a serious cultural problem in the way that XYZ is. So we kind of let it bubble under, and then it becomes a big problem again because it festers and it takes root. And, you know, we see this with like, I heard from so many people, gay rights are in a better position now than they've ever been. Great. There's all kinds of groups who want to claw them back.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we going to fight them?
Yes.
Or have we decided, like, there's just too many things?
Well, I think the fights for that, the fights for anti-Semitism, they're all going on. I think part of what it comes down to is we'd like to live in a world where none of this existed, but it's always going to. And it's
how do you navigate through that?
And don't butt in line and try to be a good person. In the end, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I'm not saying, okay, Matt, you're right or wrong.
Yeah.
I think there's just different ways of looking at the world. This is what's so interesting about it is, and maybe this is what it comes down to, is a certain intentionality, which is, if that's the way your moral compass is set and you are honest and true about it, maybe that makes you a good person, even if my moral compass is set differently.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're more of a what are the results guy. You're a consequentialist. You're like, you know, maybe I'm more of a virtues based guy where it's like, here's justice. We should always be firing towards that no matter what. Even if it's a drop in the bucket, better if it's a drop in the justice bucket than something else.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we can both be good people by doubling down.
We can both be good people by, we might take different paths, but we're both on the same sort of journey.
One of the things that's really interesting about sports is that because it's a narrative and because it exists in our culture, all of these things reside in it. But it's the one place where we don't want to be bothered. We don't feel this way about movies. We don't feel this way about music. But it's like sports is just that little bubble of childlike innocence.
Yep.
And I think that's why it hurts us more when that bubble is burst. Like, we don't feel that way towards movies. When you're a kid, you don't still watch kids' movies. You know, you want something more morally complex.
But what you consume as a 40-year-old is kind of how you consumed it almost as an 8-year-old.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. Like, your taste in movies change, your taste in music changes, like all your tastes change.
Yeah.
But the sports game stays the same, so it feels almost weird that I should apply grown-up standards to it when I know it as a kid.
It's tough.
It is tough. And you know what? The fact that you and I aren't on the air together anymore is an indication that people don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a sports executive who pulled me aside once and said, Bob, you're really good at what you do. People don't want it.
Thanks.
You know what? He was like, honestly, people just want to talk about dingers.
Mm-hmm.
They just want, like, did the Leafs win or lose last night? Why did they win or lose? Will they win tonight?
It's Scotty Barnes missing that layup. We got to end this. We are at... We're at 56 minutes.
Okay. Well, it was good to chat. That was 10 small questions and one big one for Matt.
Yeah. No, that was good, Bob. That was some damn good prep on your end. We don't even have time to talk about the fact that I'm going to try to attempt to get on a plane without checking a piece of luggage. Mm. We'll have to save that for the next one.
Going to Mexico?
I'm going to Mexico tomorrow morning.
Is it a booze thing, or are you just going to stick your ass on a beach?
Just stick my ass on a beach.
With some booze?
With some booze.
Ch-ch-ch-ca.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.